بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله تعالى in his wisdom and in his mercy has created goals and the means to achieve the goals. It has created knowledge, right? Knowledge became a thing to be desired, to be acquired, to be received. So it has created the means to receive that ilm. It creates schools, madrasas, teachers, tutors, books, learning aids, stationery, right? Everything to reach that goal, create both. So he's created, for example, our human needs, physical needs. Physical needs will be eating, drinking, home, etc. And mankind is scattered throughout the world. Some places these edible things that sustain life is not available, and some places these things are available. So that will make transporting and communication imperative, right? Because say for example someone is living in Alaska, right? There's ice throughout the year. There's no wheat. So wheat needs to be transported to them. They need to convey to people perhaps in India, etc., that we need meat, we need wheat, right? They communicate, and then you need to have some type of transportation to take it across. So when he created a need, he created a goal, then he created means to achieve that goal. And those means have to be adhered to. We would be convinced that the doer is Allah Ta'ala, but in spite of we being convinced and having the yaqeen that Allah Ta'ala does, Allah Ta'ala wants that we adopt the means. Discarding the means and wanting things to happen, then this is not the way of Allah Ta'ala. Miracles do happen. We don't deny the existence of miracles. But miracles is an exception to the rule. It's not the rule, it's an exception to the rule. If someone, man, like I say, Allah created goals, right? One goal is that man must remain on earth till the end of time, right? So for that, procreation is required. Right? For procreation, Allah has created a system, right? Now someone bypasses the system. He says, no, I just want a child. So I bypass the system and I go into the corner of the masjid and we keep making dua. And I send 5 people to the multazam on the 27th night of Ramadan, Laylatul Qadr, go and make dua there, right? Or on the day of Hajj, I send people to Arafat to make dua there. And some pious people, I get them to make dua at the time of Tahajjud, when Allah Ta'ala is closest to mankind. Now, will you get a child? You're bypassing the system. So, Allah Ta'ala wants you to adopt the system and come to the goal. This is clear, it's evident. In worldly matters, all of us do apply that. We want a proper design of a house or a building, then we consult an engineer, we consult an architect. Right? So we feel somewhat secure that inshallah this thing will carry the weight of the slab. Why we have adopted the means? The means was referred to someone that is quite thorough in this. He's got the experience, he's got the know-how, and he's thorough. So we consulted the person that was thorough, person was experienced, and he designed the roof, so we got it done. So as we live in that house, we feel somewhat comfortable, somewhat secure, It was designed by a person that was professional, person that was experienced, person that knew. So inshallah, it will take the weight, it will carry, it will be suspended, and it won't fall. So in every other material worldly need, then we follow the same principle, right? Same will apply to food, right? I give one example of food. Another example of food is that in order to see our stomachs right, then we need to generate income, right? In order to generate income, then you need to do some type of work. Either become a professional person, do a business, start up something, then you will get money, that money will purchase you food. So everybody does it. You don't have to tell him, go and do this. You open that business, or done that business diligently, and eventually you get money, the money will buy the food. Right? So this principle is applied across the board, everywhere. Whether it is America, whether it is Japan, whether it is China, whether it is Timbuktu, everybody follows that same plan. There's no human being that bypasses this plan. So, by the same token, Allah Ta'ala has made a goal. That goal is called Jannat. And Allah Ta'ala has invited you to Jannat. Wallahu yad'u ila dari salam. He's invited us. It's a goal here. And this goal, I'm inviting you all. Inviting you to Darussalam, right? Now, Jannat has got several names. One name is Darussalam. Like, Qiyamah has got several names. One name of Qiyamah is Yawmul Jama'ah, where the Awwaleen and the Akhireen all will be gathered at one spot. Right? From the time of Adam alayhi salam to the last person set foot on the earth, all are gathered. So that day is called Yawmul Jama'ah. And sometimes it's called Yawmul Taghabun, the day of loss and gain. The loss and gain that we know of, right, it's small, paltry, material, transitory, fleeting, right? But the real loss and real gain is the hereafter. Because if on that day it's declared that this person is a loser, then there is no end to his misery. Right? There is no way you can reverse that thing. No end to that misery. You can imagine now the type of misery that he will go through. So misery, Allah explains, Ya Abdu Zalim, you know, when you are in distress, then you want to bite yourself. Right? Clench your teeth, you clench your fist, you want to bite yourself. Why? In extreme state of misery. Now the misery has reached a point of distress. And distressed, you are convinced about that there's no turning away from this. I can't do anything about it. So you won't only bite your fingers, but you'll bite your hand off. You're Abdul Zalim. You'll bite your hand out. Keep biting. Because now you don't know what to do. There's no way, no recourse. Came up on the day of Qiyamah, you want a report. This is the state, this is the status. And there's no way you're going to reverse this thing here. You can imagine now, then, here, if there is a report, then there is a way to reverse the thing. Alright, you fail, repeat the year. Right? Or do some type of a examination, right? What they call it? Supplementary examination. Do a supplementary examination and it will come through. So, there is a way to reverse, right? Your business didn't do well, there is a way you can correct it, right? Right? Your health is deteriorating, there's a way to fix it up, right? So, any failure or any problem in this world, there is a recourse to fix up, to correct, rectify, improve, there is a way. But imagine there's no way, absolutely no way, then tilkyaw. So, that day is called Yawmul Taghabun, because the one that lost on that day, there's no way he can reverse it. So there's no limit to his distress, to his grief, to his pain, to his anxiety, absolutely limitless. But by the same token, the one that has gained, Allah Pak appoints an angel at the Mizan. In the Mizan, he will say, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, from so-and-so place, right? He is here, and he has passed, right? He's passed. So there's no limit to that person's happiness. Ha umuqra'u kitabiyya, inni zanantu anni mulaqin hisabiyya, wa huwa fi ishati radiyya, fi jannatin aliyya. That's the time to really boast. As long as you are here, you can't boast. A lot of youngsters, they come and they say, I'm starting something good, but the thoughts of self-admiration begins to overwhelm our minds. Self-admiration. So an easy example that I illustrate, I say, alright, you are writing matric board examinations, right? Before the results can come out, and you're having matric balls, the results haven't yet come, but you're having a party, dance, and what type of excitement and fun, but the results haven't come yet. Is that on? Is that right? You're celebrating, dancing, jumping up and down, and the results of the board examinations have not yet appeared. I say, is it a sensible thing to do? What a sensible thing to do. You can only celebrate after the examination. Pre-examination, and you want to celebrate, say, Diwan Admi, screws are loose, right? Don't you say that? So, exactly the same, if there is a deed that has been done, you can't celebrate about it. You can't be boastful. You can be boastful after you have got your ticket to Jannat. There you got it now, you deserve, because once you get there, then you don't come out. Now, at that point, if you are boastful, say, Ha o muqra'u kitaba, come, read my report, see my report. And I've gained properly, I've gained something massive, I've gained. So now, at that point, if you are boastful, it's worth the while. But before that, you can't boast. You can't have those thoughts of self-admiration. Kya? That you reach, wherever you reach, and you don't have the absolute guarantee that you may just slip somewhere. When you don't have that guarantee that you may just slip at some point, then you can't be boastful. Look at the Bani Israel, right? Allah Ta'ala protect us all. We're just giving this as examples, not to show superiority or to run down anybody, right? But in the one end, Allah says, أَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ, I have granted you superiority over all, right? أَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. Quran, Nasr Qat'i, clear text of the Quran Sharif, I have granted you superiority of the rest. Coming from the children of Anbiya alayhi salam, and Allah declares that you are superior to the rest. But then, when they did not hold on, then Allah Pak says about the same Bani Israel, جَعَلَ مِنْهُمُ الْقِرَدَةَ وَالْخَنَازِيرُ وَعَبَدَ الطَّاغُوتُ أُولَٰئِكَ شَرٌّ مَكَانًا وَأَضَلُّ عَنْ سَوَاءِ السَّبِيلِ. Worse. Been transformed into apes, swines, worse people. So, at one stage they were the best. Then the same people becomes the worst. They were the best, coming from such families, Anbiya, right? And then the same people are becoming the worst people. So you don't have any type of immunity, no guarantee that you will be, and you will remain, and your children will remain. So there is no way that you're going to be boastful of yourself. Karte raho or darte raho. Go on doing, go on working, and go on fearing. Don't ever become mutmain, kya kahenge, complacent. Don't become complacent. Karte bhi raho, or darte bhi raho. Carry on doing, but carry on fearing also. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will accept. But I don't have the guarantee that it's going to be accepted. And if it's going to be accepted, it's not going to be accepted because of my doing, but because of the pure mercy of Allah Ta'ala. See? Not of my doing, but because of His pure mercy. Right? By the same token, we aren't supposed to be thinking that na'uzubillah, Allah Ta'ala is ruthless, na'uzubillah. We come across the verse, وَرَبُّكَ الْغَنِيُّ. Right? Allah Ta'ala is free of all wants. He doesn't need anybody. Now, if someone translates the word as Khuda Ta'ala beparwa, right? He won't capture the full meaning. You see, beparwa, right? Or beniyas, and the beniyas you say beparwa, right? You're trying to get there, but you haven't captured the full meaning. Because when you say beparwa beniyas, means Allah doesn't care. Doesn't care means I don't worry. Whatever happens, happens, right? So it's not my problem. Whatever happens to that person happens to him. So to translate this verse like this is not appropriate. Because Allah says, وَرَبُّكَ الْغَنِيُّ, then he says, ذُو الرَّحْمَةِ as well. So you're just looking at it selectively, the بَنْيَاسِ لَكِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ رَحْمَتِهِ ہمارے رب تو رَحْمَتِهِ رَحْمَتِهِ is full of mercy. Then you didn't look at the verse completely. You looked at it selectively, and then when you look at it selectively, you fell into a shell, you went into depression. Because why? You looked into the verse selectively. You didn't complete. So if he doesn't need anything, anybody, right, then it doesn't mean that he's not concerned of people. He's also full of mercy. So if he is magnanimous, he's great, and he doesn't need anything, it doesn't mean that he is going to just randomly throw people into Jahannam. So that's not going to happen. Because he himself says, Rahmati sabaqat ghadabi. My mercy overtakes my anger. Now, on the one hand you see, you hear, and you say that the sifat of Allah Ta'ala, attributes of Allah Ta'ala, are from the time, if Allah Ta'ala around, then his attributes are also around. Right? If there's Allah Ta'ala, then he was Rahim. If there was Allah Ta'ala, then there is Kareem. There is no such a thing like Allah Ta'ala came into existence and then the attributes came. Attributes and the being were all simultaneous. All are eternal. There is no such a thing like anything is not eternal. If he is eternal, his attributes are eternal. But if they are eternal, then how do you explain the verse that Rahmati sabaqat ala ghadabi? My mercy overtakes my wrath, my anger. How do you explain that? Right. So, the easy explanation they gave is this, that when it's for the anger of Allah Ta'ala to manifest, for the anger of Allah Ta'ala to manifest, then you need a wrong to happen. Right. Man has committed a wrong, then the anger of Allah Ta'ala manifested itself. People are committing wrong, zina and sharab and all that. So Allah Ta'ala brought about an earthquake. Right? But for that wrath to manifest, then there was a need for the wrong to take place. Right? Right. But for dispensing mercy, did Allah Ta'ala require any type of deed? Like you are here, right? You are a rahmat, you are a mercy. To your children, to your parents, you are a mercy. But was there any deed that was done to get your existence? There was no deed that was done. Without a deed, Allah Ta'ala showed His mercy. The mercy was featured without an act. Whereas the anger only featured after you had violated something. And here, without you doing anything, Allah Ta'ala showed this mercy. So, Rahmati sabaqat ala ghadabi. So, وَرَبُّكَ الْغَفُورُ ذُو الرَّحْمَةِ. If he's ghani, then he's ghafoor and ذُو الرَّحْمَةِ. That he's forgiving and he's most merciful. When you say merciful, then it's flavored with love. What? That mercy is flavored with love. In the usage of it, then that mercy is not just mercy, but mercy flavored with love. See, the hadith speaks about an animal being considerate to its young, right? So really it's love that it's showing to its young, to its love. But the word that's shown in the hadith is rahmat. But the rahmat would seem as though the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala is coming with a level of love. So, we are talking now that this system of Allah Ta'ala Allah Ta'ala has created procedures. And to bypass the procedure and want things to happen straight away, it's against the system. So, if Allah Ta'ala has created a Jannat, right, then He's created a system for it. Before Jannat is Qiyamat. Right. After Qiyamat, then is Jannat or Jahannam. And then I explained that Qiyamah has got several names. One is Yawmul Jama, one is Yawmul Taghabun, one is Yawmul Hasra. Hasra is translated as regrets. So for the kafir, I explained just now, is eternal regrets. Fire, punishment, scorpions, snakes, pus, every type of pain that you can think of and you can't, is beyond your perception, will be there for him. Right. But by the same token, it also is a regret for the believer as well. Right. The believer will see the enormous rewards being dispensed to people. He's got that type of mansions. He's in stage 100 in Jannat, and he's in stage 90 in Jannat. Where am I? You see this person at that level, you see that person at that level, and then when you see people at different levels on the day of Qiyamah, then you think, you know, had I done something, I could have been somewhere. The hadith says that the only regret the person will have on the day of Qiyamah is that moment that went without the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. So now you're seeing the rewards. And the patient and person that didn't go through the examination of patience, he would have regrets, you know, had I just been patient, whatever would I have achieved today? Then the hadith, but the crux of the hadith, right? So, if it is a day of remorse and a regret, day of grief and pain for the kafir, then it is also a day of grief for the believer, right? So, Yawm al-Taghabun, the essence of it will be, you know, Yawm al-Taghabun, Yawm al-Hasr, the essence of it will be that don't waste your time. Simple words, straight, crude, a little bit uncultured, but don't waste your time. The respectable is appreciate time. Same thing, but you say it in a more respectable way than appreciate your time. And uncultured way, don't waste your time. Do your work, don't waste your time. Right? Sometimes the uncultured way that is more effective, and sometimes the respectable way is more effective. Depends on which type of person you are talking to. Everybody is not treated the same way. One person is treated with a little bit of aggression, and one person is treated with a little bit soft and kindness, right? If your little son came and slept on your bed, then you'll get him up, darling, get up now. You say, 10, 12 years of age, go into your room nicely, respectfully, get him up. And if it is your father, and you need to get him up for fajr or something, then nicely, you will press his feet. So, according to the person's level, you treat him, get him up. And but if a dog came and slapped on your bed, hey, get out! How do you do that? So, according to the person, he's also a living being. This person is also a living being, but why you treated both differently? Anzilun nasam wa nazilahum. He is at a different level, and this is a different level. That person will be treated differently. He will be treated differently. There is no such thing as equality. People say, well, I'll be equal to everybody. There was one somewhere in Chakraskrat, so there was a top lawyer. Everybody must be treated equally. I said, alright. So must treat everybody equally, alright. Have you got a worker in your house? Yeah. Two maids I've got. And you've got your wife also here. Yeah. So if you're going for Umrah, do you take the maids and everybody, or you take your wife only? So, boy, I didn't think of that. So this all is a farce. Equality is a farce. You treat people according to the levels. Going for Umrah, you don't take her. Right? You will take your wife, right? You leave your estate, right? I asked him again. You got an estate, right? So 50 million, right? So perhaps if you got children, then she'll get 1/8, right? You make a provision for 1/8 for both your servants, workers. Do you do that? No, I don't do that. So where's the question of equality? So understand what you're talking of, then use the word. Like a few days ago I spoke about gender equality, right? So there are words that have come up, but people don't understand what they are talking about. It's just words. Here, gender equality, big words, but hollow meaning, or you don't understand what is the application. So that's the third name of Qiyamah. Then Jannat also has got certain features. La yamassuhum fiha nasabun. One is, Jannat, you won't get tired. Right. Here in the earth, no matter what you do, you get tired. Biryani, enough now. Enough is enough. Right? Just change it now. Right. And you overdid it with the bride. Right? But I'm getting roasted now. Do something else. Right. So I had, right, it's a novelty, excitement, beat around everybody. Right. But I want to change. Right. But now, Jannat is such, okay, every bite a different experience. Every bite a different experience. إِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنْ. For everything, Allah has got stocks and stocks. So the different moments or types of excitement, He's got stocks of it. So you're not getting bored of it. Purani biwi to bahu ho jati hai. Wife now, a couple of years now, 20 years now, so many children, so the shapes and all that, contours, everything, all changed, right? So now, you don't have that novelty and that excitement like the first day of marriage, right? The first day of marriage was an experience, excitement, jumping, dancing, doing whatever else, right? But 20 years into the marriage, do you get the experience of the first day? You don't get it, right? But Jannat is a different plane. She's like the first day, like the first moment you saw her. You know, what was the adrenaline at that time? Wife is just like that. What a place it is to be. Allah will take us there. La yamassuhum fiha nasabun. Wama hum minha bimukhrajin. The second thing that you'll get in Jannat, you're in, you're not getting out. Into Jannat, you're not getting out. Right. What a guarantee. Right. The third thing in Jannat, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي مَقَامٍ أَمِينٍ. In a secure place. Yeah, what security you got? Bishara, Mr. Zuma was in a secure place, right? And things just turned around. One day's time, it went over. Didn't you see it with our eyes? He was in a secure place. And it would seem like nobody can move him out, right? But then in 24 hours, what happened? It's gone. You don't even hear about Mr. Zuma's history, class, end of the story, archives, right? Nobody talks about him. Right? It's like a story forgotten, gone, history now. Right? See? So, Allah Ta'ala says, it's not like that. You got it, you got it. You're there, you're permanent. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي مَقَامٍ أَمِينٍ. A place of security. So the place is secure. You're there, you're in. No cancellations. There, you're getting in, and you're there permanently. No cancellations, no removals. You're there and you're there permanent. Fi maqamin amin. La yabghuna anha hiwala. Again, Jannat, right? So, you're in Jannat and you don't want to change. You don't want something different now. You just want the thing to continue. Just continue. One experience to another experience to a third experience, right? Just want it to continue. Like someone has been to a circus for the first time, right? One show, and then the next show, five more just went over that. Right. So, you want the thing to just continue. So, Jannat is that. La yabghuna anha hiwala. You don't want the change. You just want it to continue. That adrenaline is just building up all the time. Excitement, adventure, experience. It's just growing. Now, imagine the level of excitement of Jannat, the extent of excitement. You know, we like excitement, don't we? Right. People that watch videos, what they watch for? For some entertainment, excitement, right? Youngsters will like adventure, murder cases, right? Robbers and crooks, right? So they like that type of story. So they look at this, right? And people middle age or say after 25, they want to see love stories. So they look for this type of stories, right? And people who are more advanced, they want to see something calm and cool now. They want to see nature and how this thing happens and how that thing happens, right? So according to your age now, what appeals to you, you want to see that, right? So Allah Ta'ala made arrangements for all types, all minds, all backgrounds, whatever the background you're coming from, but He made arrangements in Jannah for every type of person. He created you. نَحْنُ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ. We created. So we know what you want. So we'll make it available. لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلًا. Once you're there, you don't want any change. Everything is like ultimate, you know. Every experience is an ultimate experience. Scenery is an ultimate. So you're getting the ultimate with of your eyes. One friend was telling me that the person did the draw of his home, right? The draw, just the draw, is about 70,000 rands. I don't want to put diamonds, what he put inside the draw, but 70,000 rands, just doing a draw. And still he's not happy. 70,000 he did on the draw, but to be mutmain or khushni, which are. So, Allah understands, He's created the capacity for excitement in you. He's created a capacity for thrill in you. For adrenaline, He created the capacity. Who created? Nahnu khalaqna, we created it. So He'll give you that. To give you that thrill, that enjoyment, that excitement, He'll give it to you. Because He created it, so He knows what is in you. So, but the fulfillment of it, He will give it as well. Now the fulfillment will be such, now imagine you just stepped into Jannah, right? And then, the first thing everybody thinks of, hur. Everybody thinks of, alright? We don't blame man, right? But just to overcome the excitement of one hur, it may take you 1,000 years. And you're not overcome with that excitement. Looking and looking and looking and looking. And the excitement is not just wearing out, just growing and growing. Bring it from this side, it's another experience. From that side, it's another experience. From behind, it's another experience. From above, it's another experience. Just experience after experience. Experience over 1,000 years and the excitement is not worn out. Can you accept and can you understand now? Ultimate. So it is an enjoyment, then ultimate. Scenery, ultimate. Experience, ultimate. But now, when you hear about this, then you have to qualify for this. You'll get there, but qualify. And Allah makes it clear that you want it, you can take it, but pay for it. Pick and pay. Whatever you want in Jannah, you pick the thing you want. The thing of your choice, you pick it, but pay for it. You pick and pay. That's the concept that works there. Right? You pick whatever you want in Jannah. You want that type of mansion, that type of garden, that type of building, whatever you want, you may get it. To the extent, right, you say, hey, my face is a little bit off, you know. I want a different face. I want a little bit of a different face. So, Jannah is a marketplace, right? In a marketplace, there's all faces up for show, up for sale. Which one do you want? Now you come in with the face of your choice, the beauty of your choice. Imagine, you know, what is this little bit of grey hair, man? I don't want the grey hair. Or that person say, a little bit of a shorty mokoti. You know? Hey, I want a little bit of balance. Allah says, you got it. The face you want it like this. The teeth you want it like that. Hey, nose is a little bit too long, man. Everything, perfection, precise, whatever you want. So everything is on display. And you just got the thing, and Allah put it on. What else you want? What else you want? Or kuch? The type of your choice, the face of your choice, the presentation of your choice, everything of your choice. But now, in order to get there, there is some, you need to qualify to get there. So, Allah says, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي مَقَامٍ أَمِينٍ. When you get into the security, then taqwa. So I'm giving it to you. So pick the thing and pay the price. Inna al-muttaqina, that's the price. Fi maqamin amin, that is the thing that you're going to pick. See, inna al-muttaqina fi maqamin amin. Inna al-muttaqina fi zilali wa uyun. Pay the price and pick it. Pay the price and take it. So the price is of taqwa. Middle East. It's a war-torn area, right? For years, around, I think it was the First World War, it was carrying on. And you have a little bit of the war, the heat of the war comes down, comes up again, comes down, comes up again. And there's a whole commotion that is going on, right? So, in this commotion, one woman from the other side came into Muslim territory. Because it's a border, right? Border towns. So it's running from one end to the other end. So some pieces, you can see now, something's all mixed up. So a woman came into the Muslim territory. And on the one occasion, she came in, and she came in with a young daughter, right? Right. So now, this youngster that is the owner of the shop, he saw that girl, aankhe se lag gayi. Aankhe se mil gayi. Eyes fell. So this is why I say, but don't fall into the love. This, especially this haram love, don't fall into it. Because once you get into it, then to come out of it, it's a difficult thing. Extremely difficult thing. See, this is Leila Majnun's story, right? Leila became an old lady, but this Majnun's ishq for her didn't change. She became like a hag now, broken down teeth and hair all disheveled, everything gone. But the muhabbat for her never changed. So the lesson that you learn from this is, don't get into this. Especially into this haram love, because to buy onto the haram love is easy. But then to separate yourself from this becomes an exercise. Whether it's a young lad, girlish features, whether it's a girl or woman, but don't fall into it. And some of our Muslims didn't say, especially these white girls, they don't fall into that. Because to me it seems like they got some type of a shaitanic influence. Because they're living in haram, napak, whole day there. So there may be some shaitanic influences that are overcoming them. And when they are overcome with shaitanic influence, when you got into the trap, then to get out of it becomes a real task. So don't get into this. Right? People generally feel white is right. Well, why it's right? Because it's white. It's not like that. So don't fall into this. Right? So we're talking about this war, 1920s, First World War we're talking about, right? So this girl comes in with her mother. The youngster sees the girl. Now he can't resist. He's waiting for that lady to come for the second time. Came in for the second time. And now you say, I'm in love with your daughter. Now, for the whites, modesty, shame, haya is not a serious thing. They can be dating and all that. Then they'll talk about marriage later on, right? So that's their life, that's their culture. They don't have the shame. That's why now Umar radiallahu anhu say, hey, don't get into this thing here. Christian whites and all, don't get into it. Because they don't have that level of haya and shame. When they don't have the shame and haya, then they'll import the same thing into your home, into your culture. You get a mixed culture. Everything will be spoiled. Like what's happening now. We spoil stuff because we bought into their culture. That's why we spoiled ourselves. Their clothing, their lifestyle, their ways. Yeah. Where did we hear of Muslim home and fiancé and all? Where you hear that? Yeah. All their cultures we adopted, we brought into our lifestyle, we corrupted and contaminated the whole thing. So this youngster is saying, make a plan. So she started pay the price. How much? 100 pounds. So that time now, only in turns, 100 pounds is a big lot of money. You know? Not small money. 1910. 100 pounds, right? 1 pound is about 20 rands, right? I remember that when I came, about 79, the average good salary, right, of an imam was about 250 rands. Now you're talking of 1979, right? Now you're talking of 1910s, 100 pounds. Can you imagine how much it must have been? Just do the mathematics, see how much it must be, right? So she said, alright, pay the money and you can have it for that night or whatever. So this person now is head over heels for her. He worked, worked, worked. He got the money. He said, auntie, I got the money. All right, tonight. So he booked on a hotel overlooking the sea and scenery and ordered the food and everything. Rooftop, you know. Roof garden, he got that. Just when he came to that seclusion and the fear of Allah Ta'ala just overtook him. Ya Abdullah, ittaqillah wa la taksiril khatam. At the last 11th hour, I think they struck. But don't break the seal. Fear Allah Ta'ala. Oh, he paid the money, he booked the hotel, overlooking the ocean, scenery, all the sumptuous meal, everything's around. Nothing to stop him. And then that voice echoed in his ears, Ya Abdullah, ittaqillah, wa la taksiril khatam. Don't break the seal. So he said, hey, just take the money and go. I've got nothing to do with you. On. Now this lady is still coming to the shop. And coming with that same girl, right? Same Mukodi is coming again, all the time. So his temptation had the better over him. Second time, he did the same thing. Paid that £100, she came again, and again, they booked the hotel, and again, the same thing occurred in his ears. About 3 times, the same thing happened. Right. Now, in the meanwhile, the fighting nations and all, they were having some peace treaties. And while they were doing the peace treaties, what happened was this. This girl was taken as a slave. Right. So, now they're having a peace treaty and she was taken, not as a slave, as a prisoner. So she is the prisoner on this side, of the Muslim side. Right. When she's taken as a prisoner on the Muslim side, now you're having a peace treaty. The peace treaty requires that return all the prisoners. Right. So she had to be returned. Now the youngster is thinking, hey, she's gone now. Gayit or gayi, bichari. She's gone. See that? I say, don't get into this business, please. Allah Pak sake. For anything, don't get into it. So you have an attachment with things, with anything of the world, like a toilet, right? I use it and leave it. You don't keep dreaming about it, and keep, put art, pieces of art there. You don't keep decorating it. Someone comes to your house, see the toilet, how it works. You don't show them that. It's a need, you need it clean, nice, alright, class, end of the story. But it's not a thing to be admiring and being there all the time. So you attach your heart to anything of the world, it becomes very difficult. To separate it becomes an azab. So she went now, negotiations, and so now, while the negotiations are taking place, right, so this youngster, that's got involved with this girl here. In the meanwhile, he had some dealings with the government. He supplied some goods. Right? And the government didn't pay him. When the government didn't pay him, he said, alright, for whatever we're owing you, you take something, whatever you got, you can see. He said, alright, I want to take this girl here. So the nikah is done. Now it's legal, right? When she became legal, now then this peace treaty that's carrying on. The peace treaty requires that she must be taken across. Whilst she's married now to this person here, living in a legal, proper, valid nikah. Now, as the talks are going now that she must be taken across, and her mother is coming from the other side, she's insisting on her mother, no, I'll just remain here. The mother says, alright, let me just take my daughter for one day and then tomorrow we'll return. Promise. Alright. Next day the girl came in, and she came with a whole box. Mother comes with a whole box. You know, this person is wondering, maybe all the kapra, this, that, lavacha, you know, women have all, whatever. So, she came with the girl, and the 3 gifts that he had given on 3 occasions, all came back. Everything came back. مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرَزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. See, ittaqillah wa la taksiril khatam. Fi Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala will take on an exit for you. So that temptation is going to come. We know that the adrenaline runs very high. We know you can't control yourself. But then the reward is also unimaginable, unperceivable. You can't perceive the reward. If the adrenaline is so high, then the reward also is so high, so magnanimous. Right? So he's created a capacity for that adrenaline, but he's created also a reward that will fulfill the level of the adrenaline that you got. What you got will fulfill. It will satisfy you. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي مَقَامٍ أَمِينٍ. Allama ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayh, he says that there's two major obstacles on the way. One is shahwat. I just explained now, shahwat, right? Temptations. Your desires, your temptations, right? And the second thing that comes on the way of righteousness, one is shahwat, right? Temptations, all that can, they can sway you, they can turn you away. But the second major obstruction that comes on your way is shubhat, doubts, right? So doubts means there is some base on it, but you got confused, right? So you got confused, why? Because of some doubt. But there is some base in it. Like you see, you got meat, so there is some base for it being halal, right? But now you are in doubt whether this was slaughtered correctly or incorrectly. So that's a doubt. But basically, there is some basis for it being halal. And something, there is no basis for it being halal. For example, this number two, right? So there is no basis for that thing being permissible anyway. But here there is a base for it being permissible. Right? So people that have gone carried away was because of shukuk or shahwat. Shahwat, I just explained, by shukuk, doubts, suspicions, right? Like, you see Christianity, right? They got confused, why? One of the reasons they got confused was because Isa alayhi salam, right, used to make a mold of a bird and blow into it, and that thing used to turn as a bird, as a life bird. Right? He used to cure the leper and the born blind. Complete leper and the born blind. So now, because he could do this miracle, they felt that he was God. So it was a confusion. And that confusion led to them going totally astray. قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمُ. They went to that extent of making him, giving him the level of divinity and God. But what was the basis? It was a doubt. The doubt led them to this point. See, the doubt, to this confusion, it led them, it threw them completely overboard. Threw them overboard, right? So, then you look at any deviant group or so, then they go off because of a doubt, right? Some doubt that came in, and that when the doubt overwhelmed them, the nature of the doubt, then it threw them off. Right? So a guna can come either because of temptation, you are tempted to do it, or because of some doubt. So that is why they say, be rahbar, without a guide, you mustn't go on this path here. You must go on with a guide. You don't know where a small doubt can take you, and a big doubt can just drop you off your feet, throw you off your feet. Some small doubt or a big doubt. Small thing, small discrepancy, a major discrepancy. But ask, find out. You got a rahbar, you got a guide, ask. Don't do things independently. Obviously in the Christians also there must have been educated people, learned people. But can you imagine the extent of the loss they brought on themselves when they went on an independent spree, yes, independent thought. So where they went? Complete off from Islam to Shirk, and from Shirk now to Dhahriyat, atheism. Because now, presently as we stand, 95% of these people, Ahlul Kitab, all Dhahris, all gone off, completely off. But from where to where? How they went? So, in this part also, people go off. Why they go off? Because of the same thing. Because they don't have a rahbar. When they don't have a rahbar, a situation seems to be complicating, confusing. And when it seems to be confusing and complicating, now, you take the wrong decision and you go off after that. Because it seems confusing. This also seems to be right, but that also seems to be right. But he also says this, and he's also saying this. And then sometimes the nafs has the better over you, that you're preferring this also on account of the confusion, but also on account of your nafs. There was a discussion some days back, you know. So, the same discussion came in maybe 2-3 weeks ago. same discussion came again, some other person came in discussing the same thing. So he says, alright, I prefer this, you know, but all of us must be together all the time. Now see, now the nafs comes in. Said, yeah, but you know, we got also a business relationship, we don't spoil things. What he says, we also got business relationship, so we don't spoil things. So cha-cha is the money card that is talking here. What's talking? The money card. It's not pure Islam, it is the money card that is going to take the decision here. So it happened then too, I repeated about 2-3 weeks ago, same thing, approximately the same thing, money card. Please stop paying for the money. So the nafs then, you can see it's a doubtful thing. You can't make up your mind. But one of the reasons of preference, wajah tarji, is the money. Right? You threw the money and you took that decision. Right? So you see the reasons for your going off. Either it is temptation or either it is doubt. Right? The same also now you get into a doubt. One must do now. Maybe the sheikh doesn't like me. Maybe I'm doing wrong here, or maybe some past wrong had caught me, right? So, these type of doubts, you're not supposed to be taking it on your own. Go and refer it. Because the shaitan can play with you now. See the doubt, he can play with you. He can play with you and he can block the class. And I say, no, yeah, now my rasta band ho gaya. Ab my tarakki se bilkul aajiz ho gaya. I can't make any type of progress because my road has been blocked. But even the thought was lingering in your mind. Don't be afraid. Don't do things on your own. People have gone to the extent of committing suicide. Haji Farooq Sahab was explaining one story, Thana Bhuvan. One, you know, the mornings the rooms open up, small rooms they've got. So those Mu'takifin or Muridin, they come out. So that one room remained locked. And they saw some little bit of blood coming out. So Mullah Tamil is instructed by, don't do anything here, call in the police straight away. Mullah is an experienced person, knows jihadida army here. So it was some person that committed suicide inside the khanqah. But Hadi Farooq explained this incident. He says, but the problem with this person was that he didn't relate. So he kept, he stuffed the thing. And when he stuffed that thing, then it brought him to depression. And the depression said, then what's the need of life? So he ended his life. So the right thing was, when this thought, doubts were lingering, hey, I'm not thinking, hey, I'm wasting my time, not making any progress, or I've done something wrong, and that's why everything's jammed up for me. So when those thoughts were overwhelming him, the right thing was to refrain it, not to do his own thing. See? So you see, even in tasawuf also, the doubts. Christianity, I showed you, in tasawuf also, doubts also can throw you off, completely off. Sometimes it's a money card, sometimes it's a doubt. So without the guide you can't move. It's going to be very, very difficult. That's why I say the old tabligh style was right. That you're keeping to the 6 points for your masails, they'll ask you to refer to your ulama, right? And they won't tell you which alim. Because everybody knows he was either Shafi. So you know the greatest Shafi ulama in your side. Right? And your spiritual matters, then go to the mashayikh. So that was the old original style. Because their work, they understood, is just to put you onto line. After you're online, then you will have spiritual problems and you will have masail problems. Masail problems refer to your ulama mashayikh. Spiritual problems refer to the mashayikh. They'll guide you. So that was the right way. Now when you're looking for numbers and all that, and then you start throwing money card, then you're going to compound it, right? So in India they have a custom, yeah, also they have a custom of 40 days, you know. 40 days, Tija, Agyarva, you know, have Agyarvi Sharif, and Tija, and Chaliswa, and all they have. So it's a big show. And then the one that is conducting it, he gets a bigger envelope. I remember our childhood, used to go to this house here, that house, they give dar chawal, and they give a sixpence. That time, sixpence was big money at that time. So And the imam that is coming with you, he gets an envelope. So that envelope is something great. Right? So anyway, now depends on the status of the person now. He's a millionaire, give accordingly. لِيُنْفِقْ زُوْسَاتِ مِنْ سَاتِ وَمَنْ قُدِرَ عَلِهِ رِزْقُهُ فَلْيُنْفِقْ بِمَا أَتَاهُ اللَّهِ. So they were all the resources. Now, this is the imam of the masjid. Any 40 wa, 11 wa, 30 wa, that. So the envelopes are coming to him. Right? He's doing the fatiha, everything, doing everything for the deceased, he's doing it. So all the envelopes are coming. Now, one day, one occasion, so he went there for some work of his. Now, they had to do the 40th, they had to do the 40 wa, 30 again, they had to do it. So they couldn't find him, they found someone else. They say, we have to do this thing, now it's 40, we have to do it, must do it. So they asked the person, oh, I'll do it. So he got all the envelopes he got. In a minute, they're just giving the, I'm just passing on the envelopes. This man pitched up at the same time. So he's working out the maths in his mind. Agar ye hota gaya, to mera karobar to khatam ho gaya. If this carries on, my business is running down. You know, I have to do something to stop this thing for once and for all, you know. I must corner the market, you see. See, like corroborate, they corner the market. Right? So I must corner the market, somehow I must do this thing here. He's wondering now how to work it out. So, he relaxed for a day. The next day, he took a big stick, wielding it on the masjid. Get out from here, get out from here. No, go to your place. I'll see you right afterwards. He's wielding it, he's chasing. Now he's making such a big noise and he's spinning the stick around. So the people in the vicinity came in, the neighborhood came in, everybody, hundreds of people watching, what's happening? Spinning the stick, spinning it, hitting this side, that side. Eventually, kab tak maarte rahe, behosh par gaye, he fell down unconscious. So then they got him, Imam Sahib, what happened now? So no, I just said enough, I'm leaving. But Imam Sahib, tell us what happened. No, I'm leaving. But Imam Sahib, can you just explain us nicely what happened? You see, he says, see what happened. All the 40 days I was doing it, right? And I should distribute all the reward to all the murdas here, all the mayyats here. I know all of them, all the arwahs I know. All the arwahs I know, so I was distributing all the rewards accordingly. You have to give so much, so much, so much, so much. So now, a new person, he came and did my thing, right? And he didn't know how to distribute. When he didn't know how to distribute, all those arwahs, all those mayyats, right? They came to ask me, demand. I said, but he did the thing, don't come and catch me. So now we want it from you. So now, I had it now, I don't want to stick around here, I have to move around, because I'll be finished this now. So the town people said, you know, and also don't worry, relax. All the 40 years, everything is confirmed for you. No one will shift from you now. See, it's money card. It's money talks. Confusion and money card. So when you mix that with deen, then this is the result. So that is why they say, at any point in this path here, you need the guide. Don't do things of your own. Some doubt, some unclarity, some ambiguity came in. Find out. It may be a small thing, a small little adjustment, and you'll correct the whole thing. Allah Akbar.